Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Ron and Bonnie. Bonnie, I want to tell you, brother, you're a blessing. Thank you for being a blessing to our church and also to our city. And friends, if you want to see the New York blessing, then just stick around after this service. We're going to press play on that video so that you can see it right here today. And of course, you can always look it up on YouTube, share it with your friends. It's an incredible proclamation of the blessing of God over our city, even in this moment. Now, friends, as a church, God has designed his people, his body, over the centuries to gather together. Now, because of a global moment that we're having right now, we've not been gathering together, but we are starting to enter phased approach to regathering. And right now, we're kind of going from phase zero, where everything, literally everything is online, to phase one. And during phase one, what you're going to start seeing is our pastors and our staff and those involved in our service starting to gather together on video so that we can not shoot all the time in separate places. Also during phase one, some of our connect groups are going to be gathering together outside with social distancing and as people feel comfortable doing so, to socialize, to encourage one another, and to really experience community during this season. I know I miss seeing all of your faces, and I can't wait to see people. I can't wait to eat something together, even if it means on separate picnic blankets. I can't wait to be encouraged just by being with some of you in the coming weeks and months. So thank you all for walking through this slow, phased rollout approach. We are going to continue to minister online. We're going to continue to minister over Zoom. We're going to continue to gather as a church on Sundays over YouTube and Facebook. And I pray and I call you to gather together in these moments to sing, to really partake of the service. It's the best that we've got. It's really less than ideal, but it's the best that we have during this season. So let's make it count for all that we can. Now, we are now in a series. Pastor Bruce did a great job of opening this up last week called Love Is. And during this time, I think that we need so much love. We need so much love. We are all dealing with different stages of recovery from a very traumatic time period. Whether it's the terror of a pandemic, or the pain of racial injustice, or the pressure of an economic collapse, we are all facing this relatively alone. Because our friends, our family, our church, our coaches, our support structures, all at the same time are experiencing this exact same thing. And right now, we need a love that's outside of any one human. We need a support structure that's beyond any one human. And we need the love of God to come into us so that we can be a support to others. And this is what the Love Is series is all about, is how can we, during this season, be a blessing to others? How can we grow the heart of God within us so that we can be a ministry, we can be a blessing, we can support, we can encourage, even in the midst of all that we're facing? And I've got some good news for each and every one of us. This is not just up to you. The Love Is series is not a call to just do better or be better or give more. It's a call to experience the love of God flowing through you. Listen to this encouragement from Romans chapter 5. This is so beautiful, so powerful, and I think it speaks so incredibly sharply to this moment. But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Right now, God is pouring his love into us. And I'm praying for you that God would pour his love into you in this moment. He loves you. He cares about you. He's not giving up on you. He knows what you're going through and has even gone through a lot of it himself. He knows what it is to be isolated. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to experience despair or even hopelessness. Our Lord and Savior knows, and he's with you in this moment. And I believe that God is pouring out a fresh encouragement on his people, even right now. I'm praying for you, and I believe that God is going to bring you through this moment. If we hold on to Him, if we trust Him, if we go after Him, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We will mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. So friends, don't give up in this moment. God is pouring out, as we endure, God is pouring out His love so that we can have hope, so that we can have endurance, so that we can share the love of God elsewhere and outward, and we can be anchors in other people's lives. Now, this Love Is series is coming to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as Bruce mentioned last week, typically 1 Corinthians 13 is a passage that is read at weddings. It's when couples are falling in love and things are beautiful and the whole day has been set up to be perfect. But the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is Paul is writing to a broken church. People are getting drunk at the communion table. People are suing each other. There's a church that's really clashing and butting heads. And as a church, thank God we're not going through that, but we are serving a broken world. Our world is butting heads. Our world is disagreeing. Even masks have become controversial. But God has given us a ministry in this moment. God has given us a love in this moment. And God has given us a mission in this moment to share His good news. And I believe that as all of the world is warring and raging, we've got a mission and we've got a message. If we'll just let the love of God come into our hearts and flow through our lives, God is going to use us mightily and powerfully. So, what is love? 1 Corinthians 13 really tries to answer this. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. I feel like as a parent, I need to hear that every day. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. This is an incredibly powerful and beautiful passage. Paul wrote it to be so much more than just beautiful or inspiring. He wrote it to be transformative. And so let's go to God in prayer. Father God, I pray that right now you would be with us, that you would pour your love out into our hearts, that you would be an agent of transforming our hearts today, to be agents of love in this world. God, for every area that we would choose to shy away from love, to shy away from generosity, to shy away from kindness, God, I pray that you would give us the boldness to step out, to believe again, to hope again, to trust again, to love again, even to trust you. God, I believe that there are people that are watching right now that don't know what it is to trust you or to love you. And God, I pray that right now you would show them that you are trustworthy, that you are true, that you are love, and that you are worth believing in this moment. God, you're going to see us through. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word that we're focusing on today is that second word in that passage. Love is patient and love is kind. This is almost like a repeated phrase in our house, that we're called to be kind. We're called to be kind. My wife is constantly telling our children, Elsa's always saying to Anders and Eden, we're called to be kind. We're called to be kind. And every nation, we are also called to be kind. And I'm going to add a little bit more on that. We are called to be kind even online. We are called to be kind even online. Because I know that the worst of humanity comes out online, especially when there's disagreements about how the world should be operating. And especially during 2020, when we're in an election year, not to mention all of the other things that are going on right now. So love is kind. And kindness, I first got to differentiate kindness from niceness, because they are not the same thing. Nice is when we posture ourselves to help someone else like us. Being kind is when we behave in such a way as to make somebody else like us. But kindness cuts so much more deep than that. The word for kindness that's used in this 1 Corinthians passage is actually an entirely unique word in the New Testament. It's only used here. It's only used once. And the way that it's defined, that Greek word for kindness, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce here, but the definition for that is to show oneself useful. i.e. to act benevolently towards someone, or just to be kind is also how it's defined, is to show yourself useful. And so this kindness is not acting in such a way to help others think that you're good. It's not just willing good for others, giving good vibes or thoughts and prayers, but it's acting, kindness is acting in such a way as to bring about another person's good. Acting, doing, living, being in such a way that it brings about another person's good. Whether they look like you or not, whether they vote like you or not, whether they live and act and believe like you or not, we are called to be kind, even online. Kindness is asking others' opinion and listening to them. Kindness is giving voice to another's concern. It's honoring the God-given value within every human being. Kindness calls us to perpetually give the benefit of the doubt, to perpetually believe the best, hope the best, and it also calls us to give and bring our best. It's the pursuit of a distant friendship. It's the calling the long-lost relative. It's getting to know somebody who believes or thinks or acts entirely different from you. Kindness is learning to understand the other side of the argument. It's giving until it hurts and then giving some more. It's learning to speak another language. It's taking someone else's problems on as your own. It's perpetually concerned for someone else's problems. Love is perpetually concerned for someone else. This is our call to be kind. This is the call for kindness. And when I stop to consider that kind of kindness, when I stop to look at my life and God's call on me to be kind, I have this thought, and maybe you've already had it as well, and it's this: it's kindness is going to kill me. If I'm that kind, it's going to kill me. And there is some truth in that. Kindness can and will kill you. But I believe that it's also going to bring a life out of us that is unavailable otherwise. I want to encourage us from a scripture that I believe just so crystallizes kindness. And it comes to us from another one of Paul's writings, another one of his letters, from Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes this: "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, being of the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." And I just want to read that again. Count others more significant than yourselves. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." My goodness, if that's not making yourself useful in somebody else's life, I don't know what is. If that's not kindness, I don't know what is. And I believe there's a lie that if you act kindly, that you're going to be walked on, that you're going to be taken advantage of, that you're going to be overlooked. Here in New York City, we're all about fighting for our right and fighting to be heard and making sure that others feel our presence or know that we're in the room. Whereas kindness is all about giving our life for others. But the truth is that when you act kindly and when you give generously, no one can take from you what you are freely giving anyways. When you're generous, when you're kind, when you're giving your time willingly anyways, nobody can take it from you. Kindness is not having your life taken away, it's giving your life away. And in fact, it takes it back. In every circumstance, whatever you're facing, it takes back your life. When we choose to walk in kindness, to bless those who persecute you, to love your enemy and pray for them, when we go the second mile, we're not being taken advantage of. We're in fact gaining our choice to be kind. We're gaining our power, we're gaining our life, and we are getting our freedom back. We're living and choosing to walk in the freedom that Jesus Christ has paid for us. We're choosing to live in a way that only Christ could manifest through us, that only the power of God could be expressed through us. We choose to step out of our life and into a life beyond our own. And so in a way, yes, kindness will kill you. Kindness will kill the selfishness in you. Kindness will kill the self-preservation effort in us. Kindness will kill the self-defensiveness and the self-righteousness. Kindness will kill all of that in us. But kindness will also bring an incredible life out of us. It's going to bring a beauty out of you that you've never known. It's going to bring a power out of you that you've never known. When you give others a voice, you'll find that you gain your voice. When you pursue to understand somebody, you'll find that others will understand you. Biblically, even when we walk in forgiveness, that's when we experience and receive our forgiveness. When you give your life, God says you will gain it back. Even listen to this, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Now it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you want the power, the beauty, the splendor of the resurrected Christ to come out of your life, it's a call to walk in kindness. It's a call to give like we've never given before. It's a call to understand like we've never understood before. It's a call to meet people and go the second mile like we never have before. So how can we live this way? Well, Paul answers that question in the second bit of the passage that I was reading from earlier in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul goes on to write this. So he says, "We have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." So Jesus has given us this mindset, but it's ours to put on. He says this, "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." So though Jesus was God and had been God in heaven, when he came to earth, he set aside that divinity, though he was fully God and fully man. He didn't operate out of that divine nature, but instead he operated out of his human nature. And it goes on to say, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So, when we look at what Jesus has done for us, when we consider the kindness that God has bestowed on us, man, when I think about how God has continued to persist with me, continued to have patience with me, has given me more than I could ever give him or anyone else. God has given me more than I've given to my children. God has given me more than I could ever give to my wife, Elsa. God has given me more than I could ever give to my church or to my friends or to my enemies. God has forgiven me of more of anything that I could ever forgive anybody else of. When I consider the abundant kindness that God has bestowed on me, a new life starts to bubble up out of me. A new richness in generosity, a new love for those who are not like me, a new love for those who have even been less than kind toward me, an ability to forgive, an ability to make myself useful in somebody else's life. Friends, we are called to be kind. We are called to be kind, even when we're operating online, even in the comment section. Even, and don't you dare, under an alias name. Don't you dare. Don't do it. Don't go there. Some pastors, some people have gotten caught lately. Don't go there. Don't express that ugly nature. Friends, we're called to be kind in every sphere, at every time, with every person, and in every place, because Jesus Christ has been kind to us. He's not counted our trespasses against us. And now it's time to walk in the kindness of God, that he has poured, that love that he has poured out into our lives. As we press into him, he's going to express brand new strength, brand new beauty, brand new kindness and love through each and every one of us. Let's pray together as we close. Father God, thank you for the incredible kindness that you have expressed to each one of us. God, thank you that your mercy is new every morning. That no matter what background we're coming from or what mistakes we've made in our past, even yesterday or last night or this morning, God, that your mercy is new God, that your love is new, that your kindness is new. And God, I thank you that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, Romans chapter 2. God, thank you that your kindness changes our heart, it changes our direction, it changes the trajectory of our life, God, that you've been so kind to us. It transforms our heart from the inside out. And God, I pray for those who have not experienced that kindness in their life, that transformation, that knowing that you're good, that knowing that you're with them, that knowing that your love is can be poured out or expressed or just lavished upon them. God, I pray for those who don't know you yet, Lord, that you would call them, that you would bring them in right now. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've not experienced that love, I'm praying for you right now, that you would know him and that he would express his love toward you. It might be through a person, it might be through nature, it might just be through an inner witness within you, but God is speaking to you right now to come home, because he's kind, he loves you, he's not counting the wrongs that you've done against you. He just sees you as beautiful. He just sees you as an incredible creation of his, a child of his, and he's calling you home right now. So God, I thank you that you've expressed that kindness to us. And Lord, that you're transforming our heart, even toward those that we'd rather not. God, that you're calling us to forgive, that you're calling us to walk in a new level of kindness, that you're calling us out of captivity and into total freedom from the inside out. Not just circumstantial freedom, but a freedom that can be expressed in any circumstance. God, where we can choose to give our kindness. We can choose to give a love that's even beyond ourselves, and that the power of Christ can be expressed through us. Lord, thank you for a brand new power that you're bringing to your church as we quarantine, as we ride through a pandemic, as we seek justice, as we believe you for our daily bread, as we just overcome, God, right now. Thank you, God, that there's a new power in your church, that we're overcoming because we are overcomers. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we close here today, I've got a couple of reflection questions that I'd love for you to answer, take some time to reflect on and meditate on and answer throughout the week. Number one, how has God specifically expressed his kindness toward you? Number two, who is God calling you to express kindness toward? And number three, what can you do very practically this week to show kindness? Thank you so much for tuning into our service today. I pray that you have been encouraged, that you've been blessed, challenged, supported, strengthened during our time together here. We'd love to see you back here next week to participate in the comments, to take part in our whole church body as well. We are so much more than just an online service. We're a church. We're a community of people that are growing together. Our mission is to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference. And if you've not taken a step of being a part of this church, then we are inviting you to be part of this vibrant, life-giving, diverse, incredible community. Your first step, if you've not done this yet, is to send us a text with your name, maybe a prayer request, how we can support you practically, to 917-905-2324. And also, another great step is to follow us and like us on our social media pages on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at EveryNationNYC. If you're liking, if you're following or watching on YouTube today, please go ahead and hit the subscribe and get that church bell on. It's going to give you notifications when we're going live with our services. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I miss you. I cannot wait to see all of you in the coming weeks and months. God bless you.
You have been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.